Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
And welcome to the Invested Podcast, where we are basically learning what Warren Buffett would have done in the 1970s to go from $60 million to $600 million as a rule, as a rule one investor, somebody that focuses on don't lose money. How can you focus on not losing money and end up making 60 million turn into 600 million in about 8 years? How do you do that? That's what we're going to talk about.
I hope we get to that today. Let's first finish what we were talking about before, which was how is this world of potentially higher and higher and higher inflation going to shake out with interest rates and with the market?
Okay, right on. So let's dive in. So think about how the Federal Reserve has decided to calculate inflation. This has been a relatively quick process, but if we go back to where they didn't mess with it, basically calculating inflation was a matter of taking a basket of goods and services that represented the economy, a big basket of stuff, and compare the prices of that and one time period to the prices in another time period. You could compare it annually, let's say. Mm-hmm. All right. Seems pretty logical, right? Here you got a pile of stuff. Here's a basket of chicken and ribeye steaks and a computer and rent, right? Like that, gasoline.
Yes.
And you compare that to what people pay for those same items a year later. And that's your inflation rate. That's called the cost. It's cost of goods index, essentially. What mm-hmm. do goods cost? And if they cost more, there's inflation. Pretty straightforward, okay? Well, they decided that is, for one reason or another, not the best way to do it. One of the major reasons to do it differently is that there's going to be maybe more volatility like that, or that's a good reason maybe. A bad reason is because the government doesn't want to produce the real inflation rate. And so the government came up with this clever idea called substitution, which is saying that if the price of beef is going up rapidly, but you can shift from hamburger to chicken, and chicken is at the price it was last year, then there's been no inflation. Following me? You're sitting there staring at the ceiling. Let me say that again.
Yeah, say it again.
Okay. So if
I don't know if I've mentioned, but I have cognitive brain issues.
Yes, but you're doing very, very well. You're getting
so something
all
about
the
if the
time.
Price of hamburger is related so to the price of chicken.
Yeah, so you got hamburger at $1 a pound, and I'm just picking numbers, and chicken at $1 a pound. Okay.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's a shortage of beef, and hamburger goes to $2 a pound.
Yeah.
Well, by the concept of substitution, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has said, well, there's been no inflation because you don't have to eat hamburger. You can eat chicken.
You. Yeah, yeah. So what they're saying is that in real life, what a business will then do is sell more chicken burgers.
I get. Well, because yeah, they're cheaper? They're not even making that call. They're just saying that people will shift. I guess, that's essentially what you're saying. Yeah, exactly. People will just shift over.
They'll stop buying the more expensive one.
Yeah, they'll stop buying the more expensive one. So if ribeye steaks go from $10 a pound to $20 a pound, you can shift to lamb.
Yeah.
And there's been no inflation. If your Ford, F-450 dually truck goes up $10,000, but you can buy a Nissan midsize, then there's been no inflation. right? So they do this substitution thing. And what that lets them do is have a kind of subjective way of holding down that number. And why would they want to do that? Well, the number one reason is because the Federal Reserve, federal government, has a lot of payments that they have to make based that can increase that are indexed to the cost of living index, or rather the consumer price index. Most importantly, being Social Security.
Don't they also just take food inflation out of that number? That's what I thought it was. Like, I thought they just removed
that. They change
that.
It all the time, so they may have done something I'm not aware of entirely, taking it out. There's different ways of looking at this. They have different numbers. There's
sort
of everything, and then there's stuff without food.
It's very
gas.
Interesting. Speaking of the FRED website, it's really kind of fun to like look around on there and just put like inflation into the search bar and get the, 10 different versions of the inflation rate.
Right.
I did that one time, and it was actually very eye-opening as to how many different calculations there are. So when somebody says the inflation rate, of course, as with everything, there's always much more detail to it, and knowing exactly which one they're talking about makes a really big difference.
I think the one that everybody uses, that sort of like quote everybody, the one that's in the paper is CPI-U, which is sort of the universal one. It doesn't eliminate gas or food, right? Which can be very volatile. So here's something I think is fascinating. What would the inflation rate be today if we went back and calculated it the way they calculated it prior to this more recent way of substituting and so on, right? What if we go back and we calculate it before they started messing with the idea that you just compare two baskets together? And the actually answer is available on a website called shadowstats.com. Shadowstats goes back and calculates the basket that the Bureau of Labor Statistics used before they started changing everything, and they calculate the interest rate that way, and they've got this rolling chart that goes forward from, I think, 1980 or something, and it shows that the Federal Reserve may be underestimating inflation by a huge number. Their current estimate...
Somehow that surprises nobody.
Surprises
But do you think
no
that this
one.
Is like a shadowy website, or do you think it's...
No, I think it's legit, because I see this from academics as well, that they've compared the current method of figuring out CPI to a couple of other different methods. And in each case, it's massively higher. One's double and the other one's four times higher. Hmm. So I think there's definitely a game on from the feds, and they don't want to increase Social Security more than, I mean, man, it jumped last year and it's going to jump again. And so that's a big payment cost to the feds. Also, they have to pay, everybody is indexed to it in some way on the federal budget, right? Including Congress. They've got their pensions indexed to this thing, unlike the rest of us. So they've taken care of themselves nicely in an inflation environment. Plus, there's a government bond called a TIPS, a Treasury Inflation Protected Security or something like that, TIPS. Which is also indexed to the CPI. So that's the rate of return they're going to pay you for buying a government bond if it's inflation protected. So there's a lot of reasons for the feds to keep that number very low. And the problem with that is, as I said, twofold, the Federal Reserve may not take the action they need to really conquer inflation, and it can get out of control and destroy the economy. And then, and we can talk about that in a minute, how that happens. But then the other thing is that it's just like people get it in their heads. There's much more inflation than these guys are ever going to tell you about. Their trust for the government goes down, and their decision to act as if there's major inflation goes up. And that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's happened. Anybody who's bought food in the last 2 years has known food prices have gone up.
One of the most crazy aberrations in this calculation are the way they do rent. They don't calculate rent based on what rent is, and rents don't go, you don't see rents go down much. I mean, that's rare. Mm-hmm. Rent goes flat or goes up, but it doesn't go down. So they calculate rent. This blows my mind. The Bureau of Labor Statistics calculates the rent in housing by interviewing 50,000 homeowners scattered across different regions in the U.S. to find out what they think their house would rent for.
Oh, interesting.
Not what it rents for, but what they think it would rent for.
So people who are living in their home and not renting it.
Yeah. Why would they do that? Well, because those people consistently underestimate it. Right? And how do they know that? Well, it's easy to find out what rents actually are in a lot of these areas because they have a lot of big companies that own homes all over the place and rent them. And if you go to those guys, you find out that rent went up 17% last year on average around the United States.
Wow.
Right? Which isn't That's crazy wild. Because housing prices went up 19% last year, the sale prices of houses. Right? And what the government is showing is that rents increased 3.2%. And that difference right there on CPI is enough to change the, because housing is obviously a big expense for most people. So it's a big part of CPI. That little change right there from 3.2 to 17 changes the inflation rate from 7% to 10% all by itself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously thinking about where those two different numbers come from, those kinds of companies that have rental units all across the country tend to be in high rent, high demand areas. Obviously, they're a business. They're going to choose the best areas where they're going to be able to rent as much as possible. So it makes sense that they would have, to me, it makes sense that they would have a higher increase by far than other places in the country that are less desirable, which would have probably go flat or maybe a tiny increase. And so maybe that's how you get that massive disparity in those two numbers.
Possibly.
3% across the country, but 17% in high demand areas.
Well, you're assuming it's high demand areas. I'm not sure your thesis is right there about these companies. I mean, they came in and during, you know, the 2009-2010 recession and bought massive blocks of homes all over the place. Like in Las Vegas, entire neighborhoods are owned by these guys.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Those are not high end at all.
My thesis could be wrong, but I'm trying to think of why those things
why
could
be
so different. And that's the only way that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, so bottom line, and then we can talk about this more later, but bottom line is that Shadowstats is showing a 15% inflation rate is up from a persistent 10% inflation rate for the last 20 years. A 10% inflation rate has been, back by the way they calculated it in 1980, has been our actual inflation rate for two decades on average, and it's now jumped up to 15. But if we think about that, it means that we have sustained an enormous decrease in the buying power of the dollar. And that is exactly what it looks like out there. So anyway,
okay,
let's talk about
what that means next time.
All right. We'll do.
Okay.
All right. Time to go play. See you
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com. And sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important, it's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only. And I really hope you enjoyed it.